with my dad in the garage. The sawdust, that pine saw in the moss. Around every spring, when the winter thaw, we'd huddle around the radio, twist the broken knob. 7:10 a.m., no KJR. Dave Lee House, his voice would echo throughout the yard. Couldn't have been older than 10, but to me and my friends, the voice on the other end might as well have been God's. 1995, the division series, Eggers at the bat, bottom of the 11th inning, got the whole town listening, swung on and belted, the words distorted, Joey Core round third, here comes Griffey, the throw to the plate's not in time, my oh my, the Mariners win it, yes, fireworks, they lit up that ceiling in the King Dome, we had just made history. Woven, barely holding that stitch. Creases of time amongst the grime and the grit. Weathered leather, used to pound his fist. To some it's just a mitt, but see that glow is him. Yep, tell me stories on the field with that sun-stained rim. Blood under my chin, he taught me how to spit. Sunflower seeds back with me and my crew. Sunburnt arms, big league shoe. Yeah, we were like the sandlot after dinner. After practice, we listened to the M's in the kitchen. And if mine wasn't tripping, come on, Dad. Please, I swear, this one more inning. Voice would pump, pump through the system. Break out the rye bread. It's grand salami time, my oh my. Another victory, yes. My city, childhood, my life. Watching Griffey right under those lights. That light rain beaming in that night game. Can't stop now, keep moving, no brake pads. Came here to prove a point, live my life on the field, make history in between the base pad, and compete against the fear that is in me. That's my only barrier, and I swear that I'ma break that. From the mud, the cleats that we drug through the feet, this is that moment and you cannot take it back. And I don't really collect cards anymore, just a box and some old cardboard. Memories embedded in the dust, and the fibers that age just like us, living somewhere off in a drawer. This is what you make of it. Yeah, we play to win, live it like we're under the lights of the stadium. Fight until the day that God decides to wave us in. Right until he waves us in. It's my city, childhood, my life. That's right, under those lights. My city, childhood. That's right, me house. My oh my, come on. My city, childhood, my life. That's right, under those lights. It's my city, childhood, my life. Me house, my oh my. Rest in peace.
Welcome back to Mass Radio Sports Talk, presented by 2.5 Athletes. This show is a convergence of mass media with laser, loot, air, student radio. We're going to open up the coverage to a national, you know, standpoint here for the final hour of the program today. If at any time you want to join in on the conversation, go right ahead. Call the show at 253-535-7332. Again, that number is 253-535-7332. You know, Kellen, one of the reasons I'm so excited to be doing a radio show during the spring semester is how much baseball we're going to have to. I mean, we're going to get to talk about it, but we're going to have to. You know, it's going to be in the news. It's starting back up. You're going to have to do your homework because my TV barely ever leaves MLB Network. I mean, I was watching the Twins and Pirates this morning before the show started for no real good reason.
That's dedication, Christian. But let's keep it local. You know, we're going to focus on a positional group each week in regards to the hometown Seattle Mariners. This week, we will start off with the starting pitching of the Mariners. At first glance, you know, Christian, what do you think of this pitching staff?
You know, when you, like you said, first glance, when you first, you know, look at the group of guys that has been, you know, brought in by general manager Jerry Dipoto, they had one of the least, amount of turnover, you would say. 31 of the 60 guys who are in spring training camp have never been a Mariner before in their life.
Wow.
So, you know, he's bringing in new guys left and right. As far as the starting pitching is concerned, though, Felix Hernandez, Hisashi Iwakuma, Taijuan Walker, and James Paxton have all been in the Mariners organization for quite a while now. Those are guys that are likely you're likely to see on the opening day roster.
You think Felix will be a Mariner his whole life?
I really hope so. There's part of me that, you know, if this team never gets up over the hump, you know, God forbid, if they never get over the hump in the playoffs and, you know, someone finally decides, Felix, you need to be on a playoff team and makes the trade and gets him to somewhere where he can, you know, experience that rush of being in a playoff game, you know. I mean, I'm sure you've experienced it at some point in your life, that a playoff football game, you know.
Nothing like it.
There is
nothing
like it.
It's funny, a quick story, Christian, on the side. I, you know, like I told you before last week in the broadcast, every year I go to spring training.
Right.
And I go to a couple of the practices and I go to a couple of the games, and I got an autograph from Felix Hernandez on a tennis ball when I was in about third or fourth grade and didn't know who he was. And, you know, he was, I think, 18 years old at the time. And
that's crazy.
And I lost that tennis ball, which is so frustrating because I had no idea he would be who he was today. And so, yeah,
Kellen,
kind of a funny quick story there.
Kellen, my goodness. On a tennis ball, that's funny.
It's all I had.
That's funny. I like that. You know, going back to the pitchers, you know, one of the only new guys on the roster who is the starting pitcher, his name's Wade Miley. First, you know, people were upset. Jerry Dipoto traded away Carson Smith, who, you know, people here loved. Good fastball, nasty wipeout slider. Traded Carson Smith mainly to get Wade Miley, you know. I think that as the season moves on, Miley's going to prove to be a dependable guy at the back end of the rotation, which is something, you know, we'll get into later, but that's something that this team needs, a dependable starting pitcher. Miley's only 29 years old in his five-year career. Miley has a 3.95 earned run average, you know, and he's played. He played, I want to say, 4 years in Arizona and a year in Boston.
Wow.
Those are both very hitter-friendly parks.
Right, right.
You know, so the ERA could be a little inflated. So, you know, if we're sitting here, you know, in the fall talking about how Wade Miley had a 3.45 ERA or something like that, people are going to be quite pleased with, you know, his production this year. Dipoto actually is, you know, kind of a... It kind of makes sense when you go back and look at it. Dipoto was a part of the Diamondbacks organization, and he originally, you know, drafted Wade Miley. He liked Wade Miley when he first saw him. You know, so it makes sense that he brought him here to Seattle when Dipoto came to Seattle. He brought him with him. So
good information there, Christian. You know, is there enough depth in this you know, Mariners organization to have successful starting pitching? Because, you know, there have been two teams in the entire history of baseball that have gotten through a full schedule and won more than 100 games with only five starting pitchers. You know, I look back, those teams were the 1974 Dodgers and the 2003 Seattle Mariners.
Yeah, you know, it's tough because, you know, you have that rotation. It's five guys. Every fifth day, the guy goes out and gives his best effort and stuff. And it's a long season. We talked about it earlier, 162 games. And, you know, you're going to need – I mean, stuff happens. You're going to need – more than five guys to be successful.
I would think.
Numbers show, you know, you're going to need more than those five guys. So you kind of you look into some guys who are maybe fighting for a spot or who we know, you know, are going to kind of start in AAA Tacoma close to us. So,
yeah,
you know, go check them out. Love a good Rainiers game. Nate Karns was added via trade by Jerry Dipoto. Karns spent his first full season in the major leagues last season with the Tampa Bay Rays. He went 7-5 with a 3.67 ERA. You know, he's 28 years old. He's still young. There's still some time to mature. There's still some time to grow.
And in baseball, you know, it's funny. I mean, you can be 35 and kind of still be, you know, in your prime years. I mean, baseball is one of those games where you can kind of drown out a little bit.
Right.
Definitely not like NFL or in the NBA. But
yeah, when we get later, we'll talk to Marshawn Lynch about he retired and, you know, he's 30.
Yeah.
His career's over.
Right.
As far as the football player's concerned.
His body's done. For sure.
He can't be beast mode anymore. He knew that. But we'll get to that later. You know, talking about age, Ben Zobrist is 36. He just signed a four-year contract for something like $60 million.
That's unbelievable.
Those aren't exact numbers as far as the dollar amount is
concerned.
Right,
right. It's a guess.
He signed a four-year contract. Someone somewhere, the Cubs, think he's worth at least four more years of productivity.
That's unbelievable.
It's crazy. Going back to Carnes here, people in baseball describe him having a live arm, which means the ball just really jumps out of his hand. It's getting on you. It's getting on you quick. He's also got a very good curveball, you know, according to those same people in baseball. Big breaking curveball, which is, you know, fun to watch. You get to see someone throw a curveball in and their knees buckle real hard real quick, and you go, oh, that was nasty. That had to be nasty. He's going to be in a battle, though, for that fifth spot in the rotation with James Paxton. You know, in my opinion, the spot is Paxton's to lose.
Right.
And we'll talk about Paxton a little bit later, but the spot is Paxton's to lose. You know, but we'll see what happens through spring training. Maybe he can outperform Paxton, and you see Nate Carnes as the fifth guy in the rotation. We'll see what happens. Moving on a little bit with the depth, we're going to talk a little bit about Vidal Nuno. He was acquired in a trade last season that brought Mark Trumbo over here, which, you know, that didn't pan out very well. I don't think that Vidal Nuno gets enough credit for how valuable he is. I think he's valuable.
You know, he's a left-handed pitcher. You know, Christian, you played baseball. I played, you know, until about eighth grade, so I don't quite remember exactly. Is it harder to hit against left-handed pitchers compared to right?
Well, it's just, it's something different. It depends on what level you play at. You know, I help coach a 1B high school in the area.
Right.
You know, 130 kids. We don't see very many left-handers at all. So when my players go see a left-handed guy, it's different. They don't do as well. Just right. Because, you know, everything's
different. It's very
uncommon. Yeah, even leading off of a base, it's different. It's backwards, you know.
Yeah.
They can do things that right-handed pitchers can't.
Yep.
But, you know, just having a left-handed guy that throws strikes, former Mariner Joe Bimal, he's up there in age too. He's like 38 years old. He's a reliever. He stayed in the league because he's left-handed. He throws strikes. He doesn't throw hard. He throws about 88 miles an hour, big curveball and all that stuff.
You see any sidearm in high school at all?
Remember
Jeff Nelson, you know,
yeah,
from Mariners.
Yeah,
he's a huge sidearm guy.
Yeah.
Also played for the Yankees.
Steve Cishek, we'll talk about the bullpen next week. He throws sidearm. He's funky. But, yeah, it's just a different look, and, you know, it's just different. You get an advantage. You're not used to seeing that, and you get an advantage. Going back to Nuno, I think he's valuable because – like, you know, last season we saw him bounce back between the bullpen. He was a long relief guy. And then when you need him to make a couple spot starts, some guy isn't ready for his start. You need him to make a couple spot starts. He's capable. He'll give you five good innings, right?
Right.
And a team will take that. I think that that's valuable to an organization. DePoto brought in a lot of bullpen guys to see, you know, who his best mix is going to be. I don't really know where Nuno is going to start out. If I had to guess, I think he's going to be down in AAA, maybe as a starter, maybe as a long relief guy. Time will tell, but I think that his versatility and being able to be a bullpen guy with the mindset of a bullpen guy or a starter, you know, is going to be helpful for this team. Another guy that I guess, you know, is worth highlighting is Mike Montgomery. You know, if you followed the team last year, you saw Mike Montgomery come up from the minor leagues, kind of, you know, people were expecting big things out of him when he was drafted, but he wasn't really panning out as fast as some people thought it would.
I think he had two back-to-back shutouts against the Royals and Padres, correct?
Yeah, he did. It was fun to watch because he was brand new, and you see this kid come out of AAA, and he throws two shutouts back-to-back, and you're as excited as could be.
Right.
Because, oh my goodness, we found this gem. Nobody knows about this guy. He's throwing shutouts. This is great. However, after those shutouts, you know, teams got a hold of film. They saw what he does. They says, you know, kind of learned his tendencies. He didn't finish as well as he started, I guess, is one way to say it.
I always wondered, in baseball, do you watch film? I mean, is it, you know, talking to Tanner Bogart, met with him this week, in college, at least at the Division III level, they watch film of them hitting, but, you know, when you come to other teams, obviously football, you're watching, you know, film 24/7 about the other teams. You get a scouting report on the other team, but not necessarily, they don't really watch film in high school, or, I mean, do you think in the MLB, I wonder if they watch film?
Let me say it this way. I guess that maybe that's more of a scout's job, some guy who, you know, he'll watch the game and then he'll sit back and he'll chart tendencies is probably what he'll do.
Tendencies.
So, you know, 1-2 count, one ball, two strikes, what pitch does he go to?
Right.
So now when you're a hitter, you see the scouting report, you go, oh, look for this pitch.
Right.
And, you know, you could take advantage of stuff like that because that's, you know, normally what he throws in that situation.
Think of baseball, I mean, they play a game, they don't want to probably watch film. I mean, let's be honest, they want to go home and go to sleep, get rest, get ready for the next day. So maybe on traveling days, they might put some film in there.
I mean, they could do that, but, you know, you're normally getting charts that show, you know, when a guy throws a pitch or how often a guy hits a ball a certain way. You know, the shift has been a big thing in baseball recently. You got more guys playing in weird positions. You got the second baseman in short right field. You got, you know, all of the shifting that goes on in baseball, and, you know, it's fun to watch, I guess, from, you know, you see, oh, they're putting this shift on against this guy, or, oh, you know.
Well, they've done their homework. So.
The homework is it's a key word.
Right.
You know.
So what is, you know, the worst case scenario, would you say, Christian, for this pitching staff, for the Mariners?
Oh, the worst case scenario, because we got to talk about it, right? We're Mariners fans.
You have to.
Right.
unfortunately.
I would say James Paxton is getting a lot of attention right now, obviously battling for that fifth spot in the rotation. Paxton has never thrown more than 75 innings in the big leagues in his career.
Wow.
And 75 is going to get you through 10 starts, maybe.
Yeah.
10, 12, 13 starts. And that's not a full season. You know, a full season, 35 starts is twice that, right? As a fan of the Mariners, you know, it feels like that people have been talking about the potential with James Paxton for years. And it's getting old, right?
You're waiting for him to pop.
It's got to be coming soon. I mean, you know, if he's in college, this is his senior season, you know, and if he doesn't perform, it's like, wow, we spent all that time scouting that kid. We got him into our school and nothing happened.
Right.
You're a little frustrated with that. Anyone would be. Well, it feels like we've been talking about potential with James Paxton for years. He's hurt a lot,
yeah.
Which is why he's only pitched, 75 innings. That's his most. But I guess one saving grace is that these injuries are very obscure. I think in spring training last year, he started the season on a DL because he tripped on like an agility ladder.
And so he's not tearing his ACL. I mean,
weird little,
right.
You know, it was a fingernail.
Kind of Derrick Rose kind of injuries. Gets hit in the face, breaks his nose, not his fault.
Right. Just weird things that happened to James Paxton. Like I said, a fingernail. A fingernail turned into a blister, turned into, 3 months missing of action. It's weird little injuries. As far as worst case, an injury to James Paxton would be bad.
Yeah.
Because then we have to see, Vidal Nuño or Nate Karns or Mike Montgomery, a guy like that. We got to see them for an extended period of time. I think in a month's worth of work for each of those guys, they'd be decent. They'd get you through that. They'd get you through the four starts or five starts. Mm-hmm. But an extended period of time for those guys, I don't know if they're ready yet at the big league level. With James Paxton, if he stays healthy, that'll be good for the squad. Another guy we could talk about is Hisashi Iwakuma. He's also an injury scare. The Dodgers signed him in the offseason, and then he failed his physical, so the deal fell through. So rather than getting 3 or 4 years at $45 million, he got a one-year deal with the Mariners with a two-year option for a lot less money.
Right.
It was a good thing for the Mariners. They got him on the cheap.
Yep.
They got money to play with now. But you're taking a big risk because you don't know if he's going to be able to stay healthy. The Mariners liked him. They liked the way that he passed his physical. The Dodgers, obviously not enough to give him $45 million.
Right, exactly. Now, obviously, we talked about the negative side, but we also want to take a positive spin, during this kind of Q&A question here with Christian Bond here on the Mass Radio. Christian, what is your best-case scenario for the starting pitching staff for the Mariners?
Yeah, we'll wrap it up here with the best-case scenario. I think that the best-case scenario for this group of players on the Mariners team this season, obviously the leader, both, as far as pitchers are concerned and in the clubhouse in general, if I, had to assume, would be Felix Hernandez. If he continues to be what he is, and that's one of the best pitchers in baseball, period, end of discussion. If he continues to be that, also if Wade Miley, who we talked about earlier, is, dependable and gives you some solid innings at the back of the rotation, if those guys are what they are, that's a great start, right? Now, James Paxton, Hisashi Iwakuma, if they stay off of the disabled list, another plus. We need those two things. Mariners need those two things to happen. Taiwan Walker had a solid year last year. He's going to be in the rotation. He's, it's locked. He was 11 wins, 8 losses with an ERA of 4.56. Kind of a high ERA, but what people forget about Taiwan Walker is that he's 23 years old. Kellen, you and I could be friends with Taiwan Walker.
I think we're Facebook friends with him.
We ought to be. He's our age. We could be buddies with Taiwan Walker.
He's young. He's a puppy.
Right. So there's times, there's time for his game to mature, and he's learning. You definitely saw some tweaks to his game. His windup was shortened. It's kind of more of a step and a heave now, I guess, in, layman's terms. That's not scientific at all, what I just said. But, it looks a little bit like David Price's delivery. He also, he's not thinking about what pitch he's going to throw. He gets his sign from his catcher. He nods his head yes. And then he releases. He goes for it. And that, part of quickening his pace, I guess, helped him. He pitched better in those stretches where he wasn't thinking about it. He was just getting a sign and going. That's something I like. So it seems obvious to say, all these guys got to stay healthy and,
Right. Easier said than done.
Right. It seems so obvious. But, if Taiwan Walker improves, if Hisashi Iwakuma, James Paxton stay healthy, And if Felix Hernandez and Wade Miley at, you know, both ends of your rotation are what they are, this starting pitching staff could be one that people give high praise to.
Gosh, this is good stuff, Christian. That's just a meat baseball sandwich. A lot of meat. A lot of great stuff there on the pitching staff. And next week we will talk a little bit about the bullpen and get on to the other positions as the weeks come here. But gosh, great stuff there, Christian. Folks, coming up after the break, we're going to spend some time talking about someone who's had a huge impact on the game of football, Marshawn Lynch.